When I'm on the mountain and looking down below, I'll see a valley of flowers that need a time to grow. And I'll thank you for the rain, the hurt and days of pain. And I'll bring it up in a grateful prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for keeping me there. You know just what I need. And you planted seeds, 'cause you're a good God with a real good plan, and you hold my world in ordering can, so I can have peace. 'Cause flowers grow in the valley.
Thank you, Jessica. That was just beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. I skipped over a couple of thank yous that are important, and I was so excited to see Jereen that I forgot that. We have WOW team helpers. They're not even on the WOW team, and they do work just as hard. If you are a helper at the welcome table, where are you girls? Karen and the emergency response team, stand. Girls, come on. I want anybody that helps with anything at WOW to stand up. Ladies, they are the rocks, because when we're hustling around, they're getting the work done. And all the class leaders, Becky, thank those. We thank all the class leaders. And now I am going to introduce Ginger, who's going to lead us in our eighth week. But while she's coming up here, I want to thank all the first hour teachers for this whole eighth week. That was Connie and Dee and Cheryl and Christy and Jessica and Pam and Ginger. And you're going to do a little wrap-up today.
I am going to kind of weave it into my story that I'm sharing.
So, good. Yeah. That will be good. We'll have a little bit of a wrap-up. So, ladies, we want to thank you. You are the reason that we do this, but without you, there would be no WOW, so give yourselves a round of applause, for sure. And have a wonderful summer. Stay in God's Word. Stay in prayer. Stay connected to each other. Stay well. Stay cool. And until we meet on September 9th, may the Lord fill you with the sunshine of His Spirit and warm your heart with the presence of His peace. And please bring us a wet monsoon season.
Yeah. Thank you. Let you get all your stuff. No, this is yours. This is yours. Okay, that's all yours. Good morning. Here I am again. And it's so good to be with you guys. What a blessing to be back up here. I am also very grateful that they're not, I was setting up yesterday and they were taking out the concrete out there. I was like, how are we going to do this? We couldn't even talk while we were trying to set up. It was like, thank God they stopped that. They finished it. So anyway, this, as Jessica said, has been just an amazing session. It's been so wonderful to hear people's like personal stories as it relates to their teaching. I think that's just made it so much more meaningful. And I'll share mine in a little bit. But I just, you know, these ladies that do these teachings, they pour hours into these teachings. And I'm just grateful for each one that's gone before me. They've done a fantastic job. So before I start, let's open in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for this glorious day. Thank you for each woman that's come in here today. I pray for open hearts, open minds, and that your Holy Spirit would move. Speak to each one. I just pray everybody can take away at least one thing that I'm about to share that would encourage them, maybe comfort them, whatever it is, Lord. Just work through me. Speak your words through me. And we give this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm really here today just as a reminder, I think, for most of you of what you already know. And that's, or hopefully know, that when you have doubt or unbelief, that you're not alone, okay? And God's grace covers those times. Is anybody here familiar with the Charles Blondin story? Anybody know that story? Just a few of you, okay? Not many. Well, I'm going to share it with you. So in the late 1800s, there was a man named Charles Blondin. He was a tightrope walker, and he was the very first person to stretch a tightrope 1,100 feet across Niagara Falls, 160 feet above the water. And he walked all the way across it, but he didn't stop there. So the crowds loved him, and they just kept getting bigger and bigger. He was a man of the people, and they were enamored with his feats, which kept growing in difficulty. So the story goes that one time, he even walked across it on stilts. Can't even imagine that. Another time, he took a cook stove out there, and he actually cooked an omelet 160 feet above the raging waters below. And it even goes on from there. Everything he did, the crowd just went crazy, right? The crowd's getting bigger, the energy's getting higher, there were thousands of people on both sides. And then one day, he decided to up the ante a little bit, so he grabbed a wheelbarrow. And then he placed a blindfold over his eyes, because why would you do it without a blindfold? Boring. So then he proceeded to walk across the tightrope with the wheelbarrow to the other side, from the USA to Canada. So he asked the crowd when he got to the other side if they thought he could take somebody back in the wheelchair. This time, yeah, with a person. The crowd is yelling, "Oh, yeah, we love you, Blondin. You're the greatest, Blondin. You can do it." And I'll get back to the rest of the story later. I'll leave you hanging. So this is a quick poll I want to take. Is there anybody out here who's ever believed, and I mean never just not believed or doubted and not believed? Yeah, okay. All right, well, we're not alone. I didn't think so. So my scripture reading that I'm teaching on is from the book of Mark, chapter 9. And this is the story of the demon-possessed son. Leading up to the father's interaction with Jesus, the father had gone to the disciples to see if they could heal his son, and they couldn't. Now, I imagine that this father, who'd been dealing with this demon-possessed son for many years, since he was little, that, you know, it's kind of not surprising that he would, you know, show up and still try to get answers. Though they'd been arguing with when Jesus walked up and asked what they were arguing about. So we pick up the story in Mark 9, verse 19. "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been this way?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him." And here's my main scripture. Starting at verse 22, the father says, "But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for the one who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." And it's not surprising. He's kind of brought a little bit of faith, but he also is, you know, having some doubt, having gone through so much time with his son being like he is. So ladies, the truth is that like this father has a moment where he struggles to believe. I'm on the wrong slide. I forgot to switch it. Yeah. That we all battle unbelief at times. We've all been in the father's shoes. Pam reminded us of the gift of receiving God's grace. But first, we need to believe in him. And as believers, his grace covers our doubts and so much more. So an important question for self-reflection is, where is the object of my belief? Is it in my own strength or understanding? Is it first in a trusted friend, family member, or first on Jesus? Is it an AI like ChatGPT, which everybody's using today, or the inerrant Word of God? Is it more heavily focused on your favorite Christian author? Jesus desires that we always go to him first, that we believe on him, not just in him or facts about him, but on the Mighty One, the Holy King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and the Sovereign Son of the Most High God. So I ask you guys this morning, what prayer have you stopped praying? What prayer are you doubting or believing that God can answer? Or have you just given up praying altogether? And I sincerely hope that that is not the case. I'm pretty sure that wouldn't be with this group here. But if you have given up praying, my hope and my prayer is that at the end of this teaching, you will begin again with renewed, fervent hope and boldness. So there are many reasons that we might doubt. These are some. Your persistent prayers that you've prayed for years have gone unanswered. Or you didn't get the answer you want or don't get the answer you want. God just seems distant and silent. And those can be legitimate times that we go through, which usually are temporary. Or perhaps you've watched a loved one suffer, or worse, someone you love tragically dies unexpectedly and you blame God. Or you have or are experiencing personal suffering, whether from a physical chronic disease or emotional challenges. Perhaps you've even had past bad experiences with other Christians, churches, or even pastors. Maybe you think, does God really care? We may doubt God's goodness in our disappointments and traumatic life experiences. There are any number of ways that we suffer in a fallen and broken world. And I know that with all of the life experiences represented here with you ladies in this room, that I can confidently say that we've experienced any one or a number of those reasons that might lead us to doubt. But a faith that hasn't been tested by trials can't be trusted. That's really where we grow, is when we're being tested. Those are the times. And do you know that when we doubt and wrestle with God in the midst of our trials, by definition, we're very close to God. And that is the point of an honest, intimate relationship with him. Dee shared how she wrestled with God, like Jacob did, for a period of time. It's important to realize that our struggles give us opportunity to grow us closer to the Lord if we choose that path. One of his characteristics is that he is full of grace, and he can take our questions, our seasons of doubt and unbelief. Ladies, he welcomes us to the throne of his grace. So again, the good news is you're not alone. And there's nothing like knowing that we're not alone, right? Don't we all love to hear, me too, or I've been right where you are? That is such a comfort when we hear those words. Let's look at a few examples from the Bible. Consider David's honest cries in the Psalms. David wrote part of Psalm 13, 1 through 20, Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? It can really feel like forever, right? How long will you look the other way? How long must I anguish in my soul with sorrow in my heart every day? And I just love these real honest questions David asks of the Lord. You can feel his struggle so clearly in those words. And it also gives me such comfort to know that a man after God's own heart was not immune to the struggles of doubt, fear, unbelief, feelings of abandonment. And there is just raw honesty throughout all of the Psalms he wrote because his relationship was deep and intimate. Like David, we want to move from lament, which is a very valid form of prayer, to choosing to trust God and praise him. And then there's Moses. Moses doubted that God could use someone like him to make a difference. Don't we feel that way sometimes? I know I have. Exodus 3:11 says, Moses says to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" In verse 12, God responds by assuring him, "I will be with you." God responds by shifting the focus from Moses' limitations to God's presence and power. Moses says, "I can't." God says, "You're not. I am." This is one of his promises we hear throughout the Bible. God meets his doubts with grace and invited Moses to rely on his power. Despite God's anger when Moses flat out says, "Send someone else," he reassures Moses that he will help as he and his brother Aaron go together. That is the same invitation he offers to us today in every challenging life circumstance or season. Job doubted God's character as well. He doubted his fairness and his justice. The book of Job is just full of him questioning God with all of the suffering that he's endured. In chapter 10, verse 3, Job says, "Does it please you to oppress me, to spurn the work of your hands while you smile on the plans of the wicked?" And then chapter 19, verse 7, "Though I cry violence, I get no response. Though I call for help, I get no justice." Later on in the book, God responds with some questions of his own. In chapters 38 and 39, chapter 38, 4 and 5, God asks, "Well, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it?" And on it goes. Those two chapters are full of God just revealing all the things he's done, which ultimately leads to, he's just reminding Job of what he's done, his authority, his wisdom, his power. And that leads Job to believe in God's goodness despite the suffering that he's endured. Just like Job, we need reminders of God's power and sovereignty in our circumstances too. Whether we find it in God's word, where it's full of all those stories, or we just remind each other, we need to do that. Elijah doubted God's plan. You can read his story in 1 Kings 19, 1 to 18. His doubt came after, from fear actually, after a great spiritual high that he'd been on. He was physically exhausted and feeling like he was all alone in his faithfulness. God responded not with anger, but with gentle, compassionate provision, a personal encounter with him, and a reminder of his sovereign plan. God was still in control, and he had a continuing purpose for Elijah, and he had preserved a faithful remnant. And that's what we need to remember. There is a bigger plan. It's often better, but we don't always see that way at first. The word tells us that his ways are not our ways. So today, remember that God's perspective is far greater than yours, what you see right now. He's worthy of your trust. And this story just highlights how God meets his servants in the midst of their weakness, highlights just the weaknesses, refreshes them, speaks in stillness, and renews their calling. So these moments or periods of doubt from these Old Testament characters are not unlike our own moments of doubt or questioning. But how about today, ladies, we determine to believe our beliefs and doubt our doubts? I'll say it again. Believe our beliefs and doubt our doubts. Believing and doubt aren't at opposite ends of the spiritual spectrum. Our doubts actually help us examine our faith, let go of any false beliefs, and are wonderful opportunities to go deeper and strengthen our trust in what is true. So I want to encourage you to choose to fight for your faith and remember that God's character grants us his mercy and grace when we pray those honest prayers like the Father did in Mark. Okay. The story I'm about to share is a familiar one to many of you here today. It's the sad and challenging story of walking alongside a loved one with any form of Alzheimer's or dementia.
For some of you, it's a past story. For some of you, I know it's still an ongoing story. And for some of you, you might just be beginning to walk into that. I understand your pain. I understand the sadness that comes from watching your husband, your mother, your brother, your father, sister, and he take away, the disease take fade away from them, fade away from just who they were to becoming a mere shell of themselves. They don't even remember the times that you've spent together. And looking back on each week's teaching this session, everybody who spoke has encouraged me in my story that I've been living for many recent years. I've had to make the choice to let God lead me daily. Linda reminded me that I always have a choice. And I can go my way, which often looks like grumbling or a bad attitude or just feeling lost. Or I can go God's way, where I find more peace and joy, even in the heartache. Connie spoke of trust and how important it is, even when I haven't always understood. Like others in the Bible, I'm an imperfect person with facing the challenge of navigating this disease with my parents. And praise God, he has brought me through these last 15 years. Cheryl reminded me about the importance of humility. Walking this road is humbling. I've tried to humbly follow the Holy Spirit's leading for decisions regarding their care because his plan is best. I can't tell you how I have just seen God's hand on every step of each move I've made with my mother. It was just amazing. So it's also just key to stay humble before my parents as well. They're still my mom and dad to honor and love, despite the changes that come with this disease. Christy encouraged me to understand all the things that the Lord is doing while I wait on his plan to unfold. Things like strengthening my patience, which I have really grown in patience. That's probably the number one thing since the beginning. He's developed deeper trust, and to know his presence is always enough each day. Pam taught me to receive God's grace and give grace to my parents. I loved her practical ways to live with an open heart. Her list was perfect for me for navigating each day, especially the importance of ending my day, no matter how it went, grateful. Grateful to get to love them and to have them for another day. Dee reaffirmed how forgiving for past hurts has freed me to serve my mom. My part is to trust God to lead me through my trials and suffering, and he has. And finally, Jessica spoke so beautifully last week on surrender, which I am learning to do daily, especially lately. This allows me to go deeper and deeper in my relationship with Jesus as I support my parents, not alone, but with God walking with me. So I'm here today as a testimony to God's amazing power, his strength, his love and compassion for me for these last 12 years. I've constantly had to surrender the reality of this situation, having both parents with this disease, to him and trust. I'm also grateful to have shared with many of you in this room who've walked the same path, and you've encouraged me, told me you understand, prayed for me, and that's just meant the world to me. We do need to come alongside each other and encourage one another because walking this road is hard. It's really, really tough sometimes. So here's my dad. As you've likely gathered from what I've said, I have the unfortunate case where both of my parents have this disease, and they both have different versions of Alzheimer's. And it took me a while to fully accept their diagnoses. I said and did a lot of the wrong things at the beginning, trying to remind them of, you know, what they had forgotten and all that. But as they progressed, I learned to just join the reality, especially more lately when they're confused. You know, I just, sure, that you saw a green cat walk across the street? Yeah. And also just to be their advocate and offer just compassionate support for them. Now, my dad, he's been my hero in many ways. He was my patient teacher as I learned new skills growing up. He's even that way with his grandchildren when he was able to do it. He taught me how to water ski, snow ski, how to drive a stick shift years ago when I was 14. He just has, he's believed in me. And he's actually the one that recognized that I had an eye for photography, and he encouraged me to pursue it as a career, which I did. So I'm thankful to him that he kind of believed in me enough that I could go do that. And we've shared a number of special father-daughter trips together. He's taken me some fun places, just the two of us, and I really treasure those in my heart. He showed up for all the important events in my life, and you can see my wedding day here with us dancing. And he also showed up when things were hard. He showed up, he shared his wisdom, and he's always believed in me. He's actually, he was formally diagnosed with Alzheimer's in 2021, but we knew that he'd had it for years. And this January, he was actually placed in hospice due to congestive heart failure and kidney failure. So we thought we were going to lose him in March in our break. And so my brother and I flew back to be with him, and he rallied, and we had a really wonderful, sweet visit. And the picture on the right is from that visit, which is possibly the last time I was physically with him, but who knows what God has in store. As many of you already know, my mom also has mixed dementia. My journey with her started back in 2015. It's been a somewhat tougher walk with her, as she's been in Arizona, so I've been the one predominantly to support her and care for her through this time. She was a wonderful mother in many ways. She was involved. She was attentive to our needs. She was there showing up for our sports competitions, and she taught me a lot about living a life of generosity. We've also had our challenges, though, especially the teen years. Isn't that pretty common? Yes. It's many years ago, I chose to forgive her for some of the really hurtful things she said to me. I was so scared to even leave my room sometimes. But forgiving her allowed me to completely be free of any bitterness, and I've been able to support her through her steady decline. Dee shared her amazing story of forgiveness, and that was an amazing one in week 6. And she's right. We stay imprisoned when we don't forgive. I mean, you can't move forward and help people or serve them or love them without forgiving. And one of the many blessings that I experienced with my mom was going on trips. She loved to travel, and here we are in Africa, and it was just so fun to be able to do those things, and I have those memories. But sadly, she doesn't remember any of it, not one. And she's been all over the world, saw the gorillas in Rwanda. Even if I show her pictures, it's like she doesn't remember. So amongst the heartache of watching both of my parents fade from who they were has been the gift of the Lord shepherding me through that valley. Love the song with the flowers. I feel like there are flowers that have grown in the valley. He sustained me through the whole gamut of emotions that comes with walking through this disease with your loved one. His strength was there for me when it was really tough, and we had to move my mom from independent living in Touchmark, because she was wandering the neighborhood, to Granite Gate in the Dells, which is close to my house. I'm about a quarter mile away from there. At the same time I was moving her, our road completely washed out. So I had to hike over the boulders in the Dells. You all know the boulders right there. They're not like it's canyons. But anyway, even at night, with a headlamp on, I had to do it. And that was probably the lowest point I was at, is when all that was going on at the same time, and I really had to anchor in and believe on the power of the Lord to take me through those days. They were tough, tough days. So anyway, I'm just grateful that he's been my constant provider, and given me guidance. And there have been many sweet blessings of laughter that we found along the way. You have to remember to laugh, even in the midst of it, because they say funny things too sometimes. Once again, I've had the opportunity to grow, and I've deliberately chosen to grow in trust, which is my word for this year. Connie and I are on the same path. To trust his perfect timing and plan for their lives. To believe on Jesus' power and authority over the situation. Last year, the hospice nurse told me that my mom had 2 to 3 months to live, and she's still alive. She's still here with us. So they don't really know, but God knows. And a few weeks ago, again, we thought my dad was going to pass. I wasn't sure I'd be able to do this teaching. Here I am. Thank you. In my mom's disease state, she is still teaching me lessons, patience, compassion, and how to be still with her. Now we're to the point where she doesn't talk much, so it's hard for me to sometimes just keep showing up and just sit and be. It's not really my style. So I'm just grateful that she still teaches me as my mother, even at 86. So my goal with them every time I'm with either of them, mostly with my mom, is to, number one, leave her feeling loved. That's so important, no matter what. And also just to continue to try to make her smile, because she doesn't smile a lot. So I try to do that too. And then my goal is to finish this race well with no regrets. So I wait and believe, which brings me to our part. Ladies, we must believe on Jesus' power, not ours. Yes, we have to believe in him for our salvation, as Pam so beautifully spoke about in her teaching, but we must not rely just in those facts, but on his power to live and move as we pray. Remember, what we say must match what we believe, which must match how we live. Even demons believe, as you've heard in other teachings. Romans chapter 8 is absolutely one of the best passages of scripture when you're in a time of suffering. It's about the present suffering we're in, but also our future glory, right? And we know it through verse 8:28 that God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Ladies, the passage also brings comfort as we're reminded that the Spirit living in us intercedes for us in accordance with the will of God. Let the Holy Spirit do its work in you to bring conviction when you ever find yourself in that sin of doubt and unbelief. And if you find yourself there, as we often do, use that Father's powerful prayer in Mark. Lord, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief right now. And then we have to remember to rest in his character, his promises that are found in his word. We need to persevere in praying and seek his strength. Power in the kingdom of God is never disconnected from communion with God. We need to anchor our hearts and our minds in the truth that God's faithfulness doesn't depend on ours. Your doubts don't make him, any less reliable. Remember that. Be honest with God and decide today to never give up. It can go either way. I don't know, some of you remember when I shared the story of my husband Bill's friend whose son committed suicide. I shared that last spring. And he walked away angry at God. And he's still to this day angry. It's been years. And that to me is just heartbreaking. Difficult times will either drive us to him or they will, take us away. We choose to walk away. That's a choice we can make. But that option, honestly, sounds miserable. I don't know how people get through anything that if you're not a believer, all these challenges we face. So as we wrap up this amazing spring session, I want to encourage you to go into your summer fully committed and choosing to persist in bold prayers for the Lord, for what you may have given up praying for, believing for the still-to-be-answered prayers that you lift up to him. He loves to hear your voice and heartfelt prayers for those you love. I'm believing personally for an amazing testimony that's going to come as I persist in praying for my adult daughters to return to the wholeheartedly to the Lord and walk with him. And I know many, many of you have that same prayer going on right now. It's family members that just are distant from the Lord now. My dear friend here, Kay Emery, is just such a prayer warrior for her husband, Jerry, who also struggled to believe. She chose to trust and not give up on praying. 28 years later, Jerry came to the Lord, and it didn't happen like she thought it would, but God's plan was best. I loved Pam's comforting prayer. Remember when she prayed that beautiful prayer over those of us who have that prayer request? That was so beautiful and such a blessing to me, and I know to those of you out there who also have that prayer. Thank you, Pam. Some of you are still praying for other things, like a miracle healing, or for perhaps God to reveal a new path for you as you find yourself in a new season of life. So let's be like that persistent widow in Luke 18, 1 through 8. In this parable, Jesus taught his disciples that they should always pray and never give up. Let's keep coming to the Lord with our prayers and our pleas. He's never bothered by hearing our persistent prayers like the judge was in that passage. Take time. There's a spot in your booklet where you can write a bold new prayer or recommit, however you want to do that. But to recommit to praying a prayer you might have, you're either doubting or you've given up on praying. So God's part, a lot of that's been covered throughout, you know, it's pretty similar throughout a lot of these teachings. But just quickly here, I have the scripture references on the screen, which not all of them are in your booklet. But he does promise to hear our prayers. And he is always near to those who call on him in trusting faith. He promises his love will never fail. And he promises peace when we pray and truly surrender to him. He desires all to be saved. He's not slow. You can fill in the blank, a person you're praying for, that you can actually pray that. And his timing is always perfect. He's reliable. He's in control. He's sovereign. So we can be confident in his ways. And his grace is for all who believe, even in our moments of doubt. Belief says, wait, where am I here? Yeah. Sorry. Oh, sorry. Okay. Back to the story. You're waiting with bated breath, I know. So remember, he asked if somebody would get in the wheelbarrow and go across to the other side. So he asked him, hey, who wants to get in the wheelbarrow? Go to the other side. Crickets. I picture a tumbleweed tumbling across the quieted crowd. You see, faith is both the belief and the trust. Belief is the mindset, and trust is the action. Belief says, I believe he can push someone across there. I've seen him do it. I've seen him go across it a number of times. Trust is being the one who gets in the wheelbarrow. Ultimately, one day, someone did get in the wheelbarrow, believe it or not. It was his manager, the one guy who knew him the best and trusted him to get him across that tightrope. Together, they made history. And that is some kind of faith, I'll say. But we can also make history, ladies, by leaving a legacy to those who are watching us as we choose to believe God with everything we have. We are one prayer away from a potential testimony, so we can't stop praying. Right, Becky? I don't know about you ladies, but I like to think of my Jesus kind of looking like that. Sorry. I had to say it. Okay. All right. Now, so just imagine that he's the one carrying you across that chasm, right? I'm pretty sure you'd get in the wheelbarrow. And if you don't, then I have to wonder, right? I mean, he pretty much, you know, miracle, he rose from the dead, ascended to heaven. So surely he can be trusted to carry across the chasm. Now I want you to imagine him carrying your wheelbarrow of prayers, right? Trusting him to carry the load of your burdens, your requests, your petitions across the potentially long walk, I mean wait, to the other side of the tightrope to your answered prayers. There's so much more peace when we let him carry the load. So now, imagine with me, these are some of my heart rocks that represent your prayers. These big ones, these are my, pretty. So these big ones might represent your big, bold, audacious prayers, right? Like a miracle healing. Clunk. Perhaps a loved one to return to the Lord. You need to offer forgiveness. That can be a big one. Perhaps you need strength for a demanding road that you're walking. This one's one of my favorites. Maybe you need prayers to overcome doubt. You pray that. You might need prayers for guidance for what you need to do next. And these medium rocks might represent a job for someone that you're praying for. They need a new job. Guidance for what to do next in a certain situation. Patience. Pray for patience. We all need... That should be a big one. I think you're right. Maybe you've been wrongly accused, so you need prayers to be declared not guilty when somebody has accused you of something you didn't do. That recently happened in our family. Lord, also, there's travel mercies, perhaps, when you're going to take a big trip. And maybe you have people serving in the military and you want to pray for them, protection over them. These smaller ones might represent comfort that you need to get to your appointment on time. And then to get a parking spot when you get to that. Even when it's your fault you're late, right? It's like me. I'm a very bad time manager sometimes. So once we put them in the wheelbarrow, it is important that we just realize that he cares about all our prayers, the big ones, the little ones. They're all important to him, right? Will you trust him and fully surrender to his will as you lay your prayers in the wheelbarrow? Or will you doubt and try to take back control and potentially fall off the tightrope into the water as you try to go your own way? If we're honest, we do take back control. We've all talked about that up here. We doubt and we think we can do it. But the goal is to do it less and less, to trust and believe on his power and his ways. And the absolute safest place for our prayers is to be in Jesus' wheelbarrow, his heavenly wheelbarrow, going across the empty, raging abyss of our sometimes chaotic life below. Now, Christy talked about closed fists, open hands. Another way that we can surrender is to literally posture yourself on your knees, if you can. Cushions are helpful. I'm going to demonstrate. So we get maybe by your bed. Jessica called it our battle position, I believe. And so you get down and you put your hands out and you say, Lord Jesus, will you take her? Will you take him? Will you take this situation? Will you take this challenge that I'm walking through? Whatever it is, tell him. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to see you surrendered. Jesus was our perfect example of humility, which is something that Cheryl talked about. And as we are on our knees, it's a humble position. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane on his knees before the Father. It's a posture of yielding to his authority over his life, right? The other thing, whoop, this is falling off. The other thing that we try to do sometimes is take back and carry this load ourselves. And it's heavy. That burden of carrying this load of all the pleas is hard on your own. It gets heavier and heavier. And we can either keep hanging on or we can let go. Drop it and let him work. Jessica's story on surrender has been just really so powerful for me. She had her unexpected life change, but I've had to surrender to the reality of both of my parents having this disease and accepting it. And it's really just so key. I think surrender is so key. And it's a choice we must make, even moment by moment. If you don't have a wheelbarrow or you just want to do it, you can get these prayer boxes. Does anybody use these? You write your prayer. This one says, I still remember the day I prayed. Okay, so you write and you put a prayer in there. And you put it in the box and you leave it. Don't take it back. So, I'm going to talk a little bit about waiting well. Christy talked about it about 4 weeks ago on Waiting Well, so this is just going to be a little bit of a reminder on some of those principles. Again, you must demonstrate active faith. Speak scripture out loud that affirms your trust. Now is not the time to be passive in waiting. There is such power in speaking scripture out loud. And don't waste the wait. You can sit idly by, fretting, worrying, letting your mind get overwhelmed or discouraged. Get up and continue to serve the Lord. Care for those you love and grow even more persistent in your praying and believing. Hope deeper than you ever have. You have to flex your faith muscle. That's how it gets stronger. And remember to look back. It's so important that we remember to look back on the ways that God has shown up for us in the past. And then, we need to choose to believe with believing hearts, like Linda said. Choose to live a life that is faith-filled by doing your best to live like Jesus every day. Jesus trusted his Heavenly Father. Choose to trust him too. And like Connie shared, choose to believe even if things are not going as you want. Be intentional, too, to keep sharing with others what God has done and is doing. As we share with one another, not only encourages us as we tell the story, but it encourages the family of God. Sometimes we ask people to pray for us, and we get a praise, but we don't tell them. Let's share those for God's glory. It's important to keep sharing. And finally, let's remember that he is moving in the middle, whether you're waiting a short time or a long time. Keep praying with great expectation, even when it gets long. Show up with even a little bit of faith, like that father did in Mark. He still had a little faith. Though he was rebuked initially by Jesus, Jesus honored his father's faith, however a little defective at that moment, and set the boy free. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word, for your encouragement this morning, through your word that we get. I just thank you and praise you, and I pray that we can step away from this morning having a renewed commitment to believe our beliefs and doubt our doubts, to remember that you are sovereign, you are in control, you know the end from the beginning, and we rest in you. We trust you, Lord. And I just pray for a joyous summer of rest, being in the Word, walking and fellowshipping together. And we just thank you so much for this time, Lord. Amen. Oh, I'm already past. Am I past time? We were going to do the song, but we don't have time probably. No. Do the song. Okay. All right. We're not going to do the whole song. This is a song that Chris Tomlin wrote. I came across it. It's called Help My Unbelief. And what I want is you guys to just remember the chorus so that you can sing the prayer over yourself when you're having issues, you know, struggling with some doubt. So go ahead and run that. Thank you.
When this heart in my chest feels cold, when these prayers that I pray feel low, when I'm far, you still hold me close. All the things I don't understand, all the questions inside my head, I bring it all to you once again. I believe.